Well, it is good to be with you tonight. It has been a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day to be able to come together and assemble with the people of God as we've come to worship Him and to be able to edify one another. And I just appreciate so much the way that the men have led us today and directed our minds back to God and just the encouragement that we derive from that and we get from that. And hopefully what we do tonight as we come to study the Word of God, we will be edified and encouraged by that as we seek to build one another up. And we'll leave here determining in our minds to set our minds on the things above as we go throughout our week, however many days God may bless us with. And so it's good to be with you tonight. I want to invite you to direct your attention with me to the 15th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 15 is probably a passage that you're very familiar with, one of my favorite passages because it contains one of my favorite parables that Jesus spoke. Luke 15, you find the chapter beginning with some tax collectors and sinners drawing near to listen to Jesus. And you remember the tax collectors were despised people. They didn't like them very much. They were considered extortioners, that they cheated people out of their money, that they collaborated with the Romans. And you've got some sinners coming to draw near to Jesus, which is a reference to some irreligious Jews who didn't worship, who didn't engage in those types of things. And so these two groups of people draw near to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes get wind of it. And they find out that these people are drawing near, and they begin to grumble and complain against Jesus because they are drawing near, because He receives sinners and eats with them, as verse 2 tells us. But you know, where else was Jesus to go? He had come not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. He came for those who were not healthy, but who were sick and needed a physician. And so Jesus, being the master teacher that He is and the wisdom that He has, gives three different parables to show the love of God for those who were lost, and to show the joy that goes on in heaven when one sinner repents. And so He begins teaching about this parable of the lost sheep. A man who has 100 sheep and he loses one, and he leaves the 99 in the pasture to go and find this sheep that was lost. And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and he goes back home and he rejoices. He calls people together to rejoice because this sheep that was lost has been found. And he talks about the parable of the lost coin, a woman who has 10 silver coins, 10 drachmas. And a drachma, one coin, was worth a day's wages. And so this woman loses a coin, as often happened in that culture. Sometimes coins would fall in the middle of the stones in the house. And she lights a lamp, and she has a lamp, and she searches through the house, sweeping through the house. When she finds the coin, she rejoices and calls together people in a like manner to rejoice that she has found this coin that was lost and has now been found. The parable I want us to think about tonight and spend some time with tonight is this third parable of the prodigal son, which is probably you're familiar with. And I think there's three important lessons from this parable that will help us in our walk with the Lord, three important lessons to take away from the younger son tonight. I know the older son characterizes the attitude and characteristics of the Pharisees and scribes, but here we're going to look at the younger son and three important lessons we can learn from him. So we'll begin reading with me in Luke 15, verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11, it says, "And he said, a man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' And so he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, but no one was giving anything to him." We'll stop there. So here we see this lesson the first lesson we see in this parable is the disastrous outcome, the disastrous effects when we choose to rebel against our Father. Disastrous outcome when we choose to rebel against our Father. We find in the very beginning of this boy with such arrogance coming to his father demanding that he receive the share of the estate that falls to him. You know, the ironic thing about this is that the inheritance would only have been given after the father was dead. And the younger son would receive a third of the inheritance, the older son would receive two-thirds. And here it's as if this younger boy is telling his father, I wish you were dead. Give me the share of the inheritance that due to me. You're as good as dead to me, Father. Give me the inheritance that I deserve. Can you imagine saying that to your father? Can you imagine your children saying that to you? I don't think I would be here if I said that to my parents. I don't think it would be a very good situation. But here he demands of his inheritance. And you would imagine the father to rebuke him about this, to say something to him about it. But this boy's heart was set on going to this distant country. He was set on rebelling against his father. And so he divides the wealth between his sons. And just a few days later, the boy gathers everything that he has and he goes on a journey to this distant country. And he squanders everything that he has just been given by his father with loose and reckless living. Spends it on who knows what. We find at the end of this chapter, the end of this parable, that the boy had spent what he had as the older brother comes up to his father and says, this son of yours has devoured his wealth with prostitutes. Spent everything that he had. I can remember a situation when I was overseas. We were able to save up some more money because you didn't have to buy a lot of the things you had to buy here. So we were able to save some money from our paychecks. And when we got home from our tour overseas, I can remember people around me, some of my fellow soldiers who would waste everything that they had saved on this reckless and loose type of living. They had nothing to their name. And that's where this boy found himself, that he had nothing to his name. He spent every dime. He was completely broke. And then a moment of desperation, he goes and he hires himself out to one of the citizens of that country. And here this Jewish boy, probably as you think about the audience Jesus has given this parable to, that's talking to the scribes and Pharisees, this Jewish boy finds himself feeding swine. The very animal that Jews would have considered unclean. He finds himself feeding swine. He's so hungry that he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods and the food that the swine were eating, but no one was giving him anything to eat. And so you see just the terrible and disastrous consequences of rebelling against his father in this story. He begins on this journey thinking this was the best move he could have ever made. This was the best decision. And I'm able to get as far away from my father as I can. And now he's here in a situation that he could have never dreamed that he would have been in. Finding himself in the pig pen, feeding swine. And it's just a reminder to us of how far sin can lead us away from our Father. You know, sometimes we're not much different than this boy. Sometimes we have our hearts set on rebelling against our Father, going to that distant country to live loose lives, live reckless lives of sin. We have our hearts set on doing that sometimes. We get tired of doing the things God wants us to do. We get tired of living by His ways, perhaps. And we're just ready to have the freedom that we want to have. Be able to do whatever we want to do. Live the way that we want to live. And so we journey off into that distant country. And our vision becomes distorted. We become short-sighted, thinking that that country is going to offer us something far greater than we could ever have had with our Father at home. Just like this boy got short-sighted, thinking that distant country was going to provide something for him that could never have provided for him. Sometimes we forget everything that we have back home, the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, the wonderful benefits of being a child of God, the fact that God has given His very best to us in His Son. And he's given his life as a sacrifice for us. We kind of lose sight of that. We put God on the back burner and decide to do whatever we want to do, live however we want to live. And this boy got caught up in the moment. He got caught up in the instant gratification of what this land was showing to what he saw in this land. And sometimes that happens to us. Satan is good at dangling those temporary passing pleasures in front of us. And he makes it look attractive, and he makes it look enticing, and it makes it look appealing. But you know, he never shows us the outcome of our choices. He never shows us what will happen, what can happen, what can stem from the choices we make in rebelling against our Father. You know, you think about TV commercials sometimes. You see commercials that promote alcohol. It makes it look good. It makes it look like it's something fun and enjoyable. But you know, it almost never shows you the outcome of that. It never shows you the countless lives that are lost because of a drunk driver. It never shows you the life of someone who's become an alcoholic and the tragedy that is. And it shows us from this story, the danger of rebellion is that sin will take us further away from God than we ever planned on going. It leads us to do things we never intended on doing. It keeps us longer than we ever wanted to stay. And you can just see the disastrous path that sin leads you down. It leads you down a path of destruction. You can see with this boy where he thought he would never end up in this situation. You look at other examples throughout the Bible of David and Bathsheba. As he saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop, and he calls her in. He commits adultery with her. The next thing you know, he's killing her husband Uriah, and just it's a downward cycle. And hopefully, we see this from this story that the danger of sin and where it leads to. And hopefully, it will help us see Satan's temptations and see the end from the beginning, as we strive to never not take God's blessings for granted, but to decide to be loyal and faithful and committed to Him in our lives. I think there's a second lesson in this story for us that's important for us to see. Would you look at chapter 15 and begin reading with me again in verse 17. It says, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' And so he got up and came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him." I want to stop there. But you see a lesson of repentance in this. We see a boy who is broken hearted about what he has done to his father. He's crushed because he has rebelled against his father, and he wants to make things right with him. It says he came to his senses. He came to himself. He realized the terrible situation in which he was in. He realized he made a mess of his life. And he came to his senses about that. I kind of get the picture of him being surrounded by all these different pigs. He's surrounded by all of them. And he comes to realize, what have I done? What have I done with my life? This has led me somewhere that I never intended on going. I've done something that I never set out to do. Look where I've wound up in my life. And he comes and he thinks about his home. He thinks about what was back home with his father. He thinks about here he's starving. He doesn't have anything to eat. He doesn't even have anything to eat as the pigs are being fed. And he thinks about all the servants of his father, all his father's hired men. That they had plenty of food. They had bread to eat. They never went without anything. And here I am starving, about to die. I'm impoverished. And the turning point is in verse 18. He not only realizes where he's gotten himself, but he's going to do something about it. Look at verse 18 again. "I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired men." He saw where he was, but he didn't just stay there. He was willing to do something about it. I'm going to go to my father. And I don't deserve to be his son anymore, but I'm just going to ask him to be one of his hired servants. I'd be content with that. I'd be okay with that. Because I don't deserve to be his son after all the pain and all the agony that I've caused him in my rebellion. He left demanding his inheritance. Give me my share of the estate that falls to me. And here he comes back with a request. Father, just make me one of your hired servants. And like this boy, we have to come to a realization of where we're at. We have to come to understand if we've rebelled against our Father, we have to come to understand where we've gotten ourselves. That we've strayed far from home. We have to recognize what a mess that we've made of our lives if we've fallen back into sin, or if we've got caught up in the path of sin as we journey to that distant country. We have to be aware of the situation that we're in. And it's when we come to our senses, when we come to ourselves, that we realize how good we had it back home with our Father. We realize all that we had with our Father, that He took care of us and He provided for us. We had everything we could have ever wanted with Him back home. When we come to our senses, we'll see that. You know, the challenge for us sometimes is the next step. We understand where we're at. We understand the mess that we're in. But we have a hard time returning back home to our Father. That's the place we struggle with probably the most, is getting back up and going back home to our Father. It's a challenge. And sometimes we just get so used to where we're at in our sin. We get used to the pig pen. And we kind of just get used to the smell. We get used to the atmosphere. We say, well, I guess I could kind of live with this. I guess I'll just adapt myself to it. This is just my lot in life. I'll just have to get used to where I'm at. That wasn't this boy's response. He said, I will get up and I'm going to go back to my Father and seek His forgiveness. And I'm going to come in repentance to Him. And so repentance is not just understanding where we're at, but it's doing something about it. It's going back home. Repentance is turning away from that old life of sin and turning back to God. We have to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And it's a change of mind that leads to a change in action on our part. And you know, coming back to God takes humility on our part. We talked about this morning the importance of surrendering our lives to God, as Mark talked about. And that takes humility to surrender our will to God, to give ourselves completely to Him. And it also takes humility to take responsibility of our sins. You know, we live in a culture that doesn't want to take any responsibility for the things that we do, the things that they do. We try to shift the blame on everybody else. And the reason that I'm in this situation is not because of what I've done, but because what everybody else has done. And it takes humility if we're going to repent and have that attitude of repentance to come back to God, to truly take responsibility for what we've done. And you know, all the bridges that we burn sometimes in our rebellion and in our way out, all the bridges that we sometimes burn with God and other people in our lives, it takes humility to cross back over those bridges. It takes humility to be willing to come back and make things right, not only with God as we seek to come to Him on His terms and seek His forgiveness and His pardon, but it takes humility as well to ask for forgiveness from the people we've hurt on our way out. And so I think that's an important lesson for us to see with this boy, is not only coming to an understanding of where we're at, coming to ourselves about our sins, but also being willing to have the humility to come back to God. Last lesson I want you to think about from this parable this evening is one of my favorite points about this lesson. And it's about the joy of being able to be reconciled back to our Father. The joy of reconciliation. I want you to continue reading with me in verse 20 through verse 24. It says, Luke 15 and verse 20. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fattened calf. Kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. The joy of being able to be reconciled back to our Father is what this parable is all about. You know, it's so evident as you read this last section, you read these few verses, the love that this father had for his son. You know, as he saw his son as a long way off and coming near to him, coming near to the house, he didn't have his arms folded and say, well, look what the cat drug in today. You know, look who's back. I wonder what he wants from me now. No, the father ran to his son. He ran to his son who was coming from a long ways off, and that was completely unheard of. It would have been undignified for a father to raise up his clothes and to pursue his son and run towards him. But that didn't even matter to him. He was so overwhelmed with compassion for his son that this son who was as good as dead has come back. And so he ran towards him. He embraced him and he kissed him. And you notice the son doesn't even get to finish the thing that he's prepared to say to his father. He doesn't even get to finish what he's prepared to say. He doesn't get to say, Father, just make me one of your hired men. But the father says to his servants, quickly bring out the best robe. That phrase literally means robe the first. Not the first robe you can find in the house, but the best and finest robe. This may have been his father's robe. And put the robe on him. Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on. Put a ring on his hand. A family signet ring. That would have been given to the children. Put sandals on his feet. Usually it was just only servants who didn't have sandals. Only those who were more well off. And so he says, put sandals on his feet. All of these things are not marks of a slave, not marks of a servant. But the marks of a son. Now here his father was willing to welcome him back home. Willing to restore him to that rightful relationship as his son that he could have never even deserved. Never even thought of. You know, this boy goes home and he was prepared just to become one of his father's hired servants. But the father had something so much greater in mind for his son as he came back home. That he would be able to be restored back to that right relationship with his father. And so he says, bring the fattened calf. Kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine who was dead and has come to life again. And has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. You know, families often had a calf that they kept around to try to fatten it up for these special occasions. And this was one of those occasions. This son who was gone, who had rebelled, has now come home. And this was one of the days his father had been waiting for ever since the time that he left, that he had finally come back. It was a day of rejoicing and celebration. This is such a powerful lesson to me in so many ways. That this father here in this story is just a reflection of our Heavenly Father who cares for us in such a way that he's willing to welcome us back home, even if we've rebelled against him. You know, sometimes we struggle, wondering, because we've done so much harm, we've done so much wrong, we've turned away from God. You know, we struggle in wondering, you know, would God even accept me back? Would he even welcome me back after I've done so much to hurt him and sin against him? You know, would God forgive me if I came back to him? Sometimes we struggle with that. Maybe you felt that way in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel that way because of the sin that's in your life. Would God be willing to welcome me back home? And I think the joy and the comfort and the hope that this parable gives us is that while we still have the time, God is willing to welcome us back home when we come to Him in repentance, when we come to Him on His terms, when we come to Him seeking to make things right. You know, we've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us we've done things in our own lives in rebelling against our Father. We've done things over and over again that have hurt Him as we sinned against Him. And the amazing thing to me in all of that is that God still wants something to do with us. That His ultimate desire is that we would come back, that He would be our God and we would be His people. And we can enjoy that right relationship with Him. And I hope that you'll take that away from this parable tonight. The joy of being able to be reconciled back to our Father. I ask you tonight, where are you? Are you ready to come home tonight if you've strayed far from your Father? If you never obeyed the gospel, have you come to your senses? Have you come to understand where you are estranged from God and your relationship with Him? And are you ready to come to Him tonight? Are you really ready to make things right as you come to Him with a heart of repentance? Coming to Him on His terms, coming in faith, and on the basis of that faith, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, repenting and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and to go on rejoicing in being a child of God and striving to stay faithful to Him. And maybe you're here tonight and you find yourself in the shoes or the sandals of the prodigal son. And you've, as a Christian, have left home. You've strayed far from Him. You've come to your senses and you're ready to make things right. If we can help you in doing that tonight, there's a congregation here who's going to help you and encourage you in whatever way that we can. And so if you're subject to the Lord's invitation this evening, I want to encourage you to come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.